Good evening, everyone. How are you? Are you well? I feel like I've got the biggest lectern in the world, and I've only got one piece of paper. I don't know how you prepared for coming here tonight, but I did maths with my 11-year-old daughter. So it went something like this. You do it this way, love, because that's how I did it in school. And she said, you don't do it like that anymore, Dad. You do it this way. And I said, nicely, I think you'll find I'm right. And she said, I think you'll find you're wrong. Raise that by a few decibels. And I said, I think you'll find I'm right. And she said, I think you'll find I'm right. Take that conversation another 10 minutes and we agree that we're going to go on the internet and find out who's right. Anyway, she was right. And then she said to me, what are you preaching on tonight then, Dad? And I said, I'm preaching on love, all right? Oh, I love my daughter. I really, really love my daughter. Do you think if I say it long enough, I'll get over the fact that she was right and I was wrong? Is it just me? Or does everything seem to be getting built on these days? If you see a patch of land, 3 days later, someone's building on it, aren't they? I mean, we were thinking about moving house recently, and so we decided to have a look around and go and see a few houses. And when you've got three kids like mine, they knock as many bricks down as people do build them up. But we just sort of looked around and we're thinking, absolutely everywhere you go, people are building. You know, where I live in Marton, if you turn left, there's a building site. And if you turn right, there's a building site. Everywhere you look, people are throwing houses up. And today, I took a wrong turn and I ended up in a place that I didn't quite recognise. And Carolyn said to me, oh, they're building a new housing estate there. Everywhere you look, they seem to be building all the time. And in the Bible, you know, Jesus talks about building. And in Matthew, he talks about what you build your life on. And he says, if you build your house on rock, then you're really, really wise. If you build your house on a firm foundation, that is one of the wisest things you can do. But he also says, if you build your house on sand, on nothing, you're a fool. You're a fool. It's a really strong thing, isn't it, when someone says to you, you're a fool. It really hits you, doesn't it? Hits you right between the eyes. But that's what Jesus was saying. And you know, Jesus spent 3 years teaching the truth. He went round from town to town and village to village. And he basically was saying, if you just believe what I'm telling you, if you just accept what I'm saying to you, then you are building your house on a firm foundation. You're building it on solid rock. But if you don't believe what I'm saying and you choose to ignore it and go off and do your own thing, then you're building your house on sand. And my friend, he said, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. Build it on rock and you're wise. Build it on sand and you are so, so foolish. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you building your life on? Rock or sand? Rock or sand? As a family, we've had a couple of fantastic holidays in the last couple of years. What we do is we take 5% of the collection every week out and we put it into our Tenerife fund. I'm joking for those of you that don't know me very well. And every time we seem to go on holiday where there's a beach involved, something dramatic seems to happen. 2 years ago, we went on holiday, and while we're on the beach, a German dies in front of us. He comes out of the sea, goes back to where his wife is, and falls down dead. Just dies in front of us, and the whole beach is just like, you don't expect that on holiday, do you? You don't expect someone sunbathing next to you to fall down dead. But he did. And 2 years ago, that memory of what happened still lives long, not only in my life, but in my kids as well. And even my youngest, who was only 2 or 3 at the time, still says, do you remember when that man died on the beach? It's impacting, isn't it? And as if we seem to carry this thing around with us, This year we went on holiday, and we had another dramatic experience on the beach. Actually, if I ever invite you to come on holiday with me, don't come for your own sake. Have a better holiday and don't come with us. Or if you see me on the same beach as you, run a mile in the other direction. Something's going to happen. So I want you to imagine, if you will, there we are in August. We go to Tenerife, okay? And on the first day of our holiday, we wander down on the beach. And I want you to imagine the picturesque scene of a sun-kissed, still ocean and rows of sunbeds and just absolute bliss. And after a hectic few weeks of build-up to get there, all you want to do is slap some sun cream on and enjoy the sun, isn't it? And you know, on that first day, that's what we did. And this particular beach was really well looked after. It was absolutely golden sand with no rubbish and all that kind of stuff. It was really well looked after. And row after row after row of sunbeds with like these thatched wooden umbrellas. It's beautiful. It was absolutely fantastic. We had an excellent day. The second day that we went there, it was a slightly cloudy day. It was still sunny, but it was a little bit cloudy. And when we got to the beach, we could hear the sea before we could see it. And as we got there, the size of the waves were so big that they were crashing over the harbour. They were just enormous, these waves. And our Joel, being a kid of dramatic effect, went, "Now isn't that a thing of glory, eh, Dad?" And I said, "Yes, son, it really is." And there were surfers out, but these waves were enormous. I've never seen anything like it. And so we kind of got a few sunbeds on the front row. And if you can imagine, there's rows and rows of sunbeds going further back to the edge of the beach and then out from there. So we get on, I think, the second row. And in front of us is two towels where some people have obviously left the towels and wandered off. 10 minutes into sunbathing, the waves start coming really close. And we said to the lifeguard who was wandering round, "Are we all right here?" And he went, "Oh, you'll be absolutely fine, yeah. They never come any further than there. You'll be absolutely fine." 5 minutes later, every sunbed in front of us gets wiped out with this rogue wave that comes in and just wipes them out. I mean, I'm talking about just beds flowing everywhere. And these two towels on the sunbeds in front of us, we grabbed them because they'd have just been lost, because this couple just, you know, they weren't there. So we kind of look at this wave pattern coming in. And I looked at Carolyn, and Carolyn looked at me. And being dramatic as our Joel is, he turned to us and went, "Where next?" And what we noticed was that if you were on the next row, you got a little bit nervous. Everyone in the row in front had been wiped out. We were okay for now. But actually, if it is going to come in any closer, where next? And if you went right to the very back, some 15 rows at the back, you'd find a load of people very relaxed, just sat there, enjoying the sun, looking, thinking, "I'm so glad I'm not down at the front like they all are." To cut a very long story short, the waves kept coming higher, further. Some people thought, wouldn't it be fun to stand in the waves and just let them roll into us? They did that with regret, because these waves were so strong, they were taking boulders bigger than these speakers with them, and people were getting smacked into by these boulders and really getting torn apart. It was a ferocious wave pattern coming in. We got wiped out in no time. Two or three waves, we were gone. Everything was gone. We just grabbed our gear, and then we were just mesmerized by the beach, you know. And one row after a row, people just kept getting wiped out. With the exception of the very furthest row at the back, with a German guy who sat there on his deck chair with his cigarette going, laughing at us all. And I was like, "Oh, will you wipe him out, Lord, please?" And he did. And he did. He wiped the whole beach out. But he didn't just wipe the beach out. Every single bed, and I'm talking hundreds of beds, was swept out to sea. The lifeguard was rescuing sunbeds as quickly as he could. There was an ice cream kiosk on the beach that got absolutely smashed up, wiped out, And the girl working in there just came out, stood on the top and went, huh? I said to her, what's happened? She went, her whole business was just wiped out. The guy that was renting sunbeds just threw his book away and thought, oh, I'm not going to be renting any sunbeds today, am I? The whole beach was just destroyed in a moment, and everyone scarpered from that beach. And an hour before, it had been the picture of serenity and relaxation. We went back the next day, and it was absolutely destroyed. There wasn't a single bed. There wasn't a single umbrella. It was just full of boulders this size. The beach was no more. Everything that everyone had put down was gone, destroyed, missing, or rescued just. And one really interesting thing was the couple that put their towels down came back. And when they came back, they saw their towels. We'd left them on the floor near the road. And they came back and they were like, we've only been gone an hour. And the whole thing's been wiped out. And as I saw it, I thought to myself, don't build your house on sand. It's really, really interesting. And you know, that has kind of stuck with me, really. You know, when this couple came back, they hadn't seen a thing. They hadn't seen anyone try and rescue their towels. They hadn't seen people trying to get beds sorted and things like that. They hadn't done anything like that. All they'd done was they'd come back and there was just desolation. Everything that had been built, everything that had been orderly, was just a mess, complete mess. And as far as they were concerned, they didn't know what had gone on. And I just wanted to ask you a question tonight. Are you building your house on sand? What is it that you build your life on? Because, you know, some of us innocently build our life on things that look good, but they're actually just sand. For example, some of us build our life around our kids. We have our kids, don't we? Those of you that have had kids, we have our kids. And your whole life seems to be consumed with bringing them up, isn't that right? Especially when they're really little and really dependent on you. You know, everything changes. You know, Andy and Esther haven't yet lived. They're going to have a child in the next few months. And when they do, I'm going to ring Andy at 7 in the morning and ask him how his night's been. And, you know, that's what happens when you have kids, is they dominate your life. But you know what? We know parents in our kids' school, and their whole life is their kids. You know, everything they do is, we've got to get her to ballet class, we've got to get him to football, we've got to get him to this, or we have to do this with them. And they're just taxi drivers for kids. They just run them around everywhere, and their whole life is their kids. You know, I've known parents like that. And then this is what happens. When that child reaches a certain age, they just go. Kids don't look backwards. Kids don't go, I'm going this way, Mum and Dad. They just go like that. They don't stop kids. They just go forward. Now, if you're lucky as a parent, your kids might spend a bit of time with you. But don't put your hope in your kids. Don't put your life in your children, thinking that that's the thing you're going to build your whole life on. Because I tell you what, you're going to be really disappointed when they leave. I know parents that say to me, our house is like the Marie Celeste. All the kids have gone, and I've got nothing left to live for. Parents are like that. There's a lad who comes to our church called Michael. Michael's a football scout. He scouts for Middlesbrough. And he said to me that some parents go to these football matches, and the kids are playing football, and the parents are trying to live all their dreams through their kids. And he said, when we eventually turn round and say to a child, I'm sorry, little Johnny, you're not quite good enough to play for the team, the parents are crushed. Not so much for the kid, though they are disappointed, but for themselves. Their dream has been completely shattered because they were putting it on their own child. Don't build your life around children. Love them with all your heart, but don't build your life around them. You know, a lot of people build a life around a career. They get a good job, and they think, oh, this is fantastic. Maybe you went to college or university like Keena did, and you've worked really hard to get some qualifications, and then you get a job that you love. Maybe you didn't go to college, but you've still got a job that you absolutely love. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's really good to work. It's really good to have a job. But don't put all your hope in your career. I know broken men and women who have given 30, 40 years to a job, only for the company to say to them one day, I'm really sorry, Fred, we don't need you anymore. And they just toss them out on the scrap heap. And those people are full of bitterness and anger and envy. And they're crushed because they built their house on that job. I remember somebody that I worked with for a number of years. And she split up from her husband. And she said to me, the good news is, I've still got my job. And I'm like, flipping heck. You haven't even had half the heartache you're going to have if you think that your life's going to be sorted because you clock on at 9 o'clock every morning. That's just, you know, it's a disaster. You know, don't build your house on your job. A few years ago, I lost my job. After working really, really hard and putting absolutely everything into it, my boss sat me down one day and said, it's not really working out anymore, this, is it? I want you to have the weekend off and then come back on Monday and tell me whether or not you want to stay or whether you want to leave. And I rang Martin up. And I said to Martin, Martin, I think I'm going to lose my job. And being the brilliant friend that he is, the close friend, the mate that you need, the brother to put your arm around with you, he said, you're going to lose your job. I went, yeah. He went, hallelujah. That's the best thing that could happen to you. And do you know what? He's right. Because I built my life around my career. I would put my career before my wife. I would put my career before my kids. I would put my career before God. It was the most important thing to me. And I'll tell you how I know it was the most important thing to me. Because if work came up, I would drop everything else. I would drop it like a stone. That's how you find out what's important. What's really important. Don't build your life around a job. Now the third thing is, and this is a really important one. You get married, or you have a partner, and you absolutely love them, don't you? You love your wife. You love your husband. I know people that are besotted with their husbands. But I'm worth it. And that's fine. In fact, the love between a man and a woman is absolutely fantastic. But some people put their whole life around that person. They build their house on that individual, that man, or that woman. And they're not ready for the day when he comes back in and says, I didn't mean to hurt you, and I'm really sorry, but there's someone else. And he isn't ready for the day when she comes in and says, this just isn't working out for me anymore. In fact, the likelihood of that happening today in modern Britain is 4 times more likely than it was 30 years ago. Did you know that? People don't work at relationships anymore. If it gets hard, they just get out. They see that as the natural option. And that's one of the saddest things for families, isn't it, these days? That people don't stick in. But hey, maybe you were the person that put all your hope in that man or that woman. And they're taken from you overnight. And it might not even be something sinister. My own sister, who's here tonight, was married to a great guy who got leukemia and got cancer and died. God took him. He's in heaven now. She had nothing to do with that, but he's gone. He's gone. If she built her life around him, she has got a lot of pain coming her way. It's hard enough anyway. But if all you did is build your life around that partner, you are going to have some real hurt and trouble. Jesus would call you a fool for building your life around that because it's just sand. And I know people that say to me, well, I've got my health. I can knock through walls, me. I'm absolutely brilliant. I can knock through walls, me. You give me a challenge, I'll get through it. I can punch through anything. Absolutely fine when you're young. Absolutely fine when you're young. You go to see the doctor one day because you're feeling a bit tired. And he takes a blood test. And he says, come back in 2 weeks because we'll have the results back. And you go back having been at the gym thinking everything's hunky-dory. And he says to you, oh, I'm so sorry. We've found something. Your whole life just falls to the floor. If you've built everything around you achieving, your whole life will just fall to the floor. Jesus will call you a fool. Do you know what? Maybe you've built a lovely home. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe your house is an absolute palace. You know, around where I live, if someone gets their drive done, you can guarantee 4 more drives will get done that month. I'm waiting to do something really silly with our house just to see if somebody else will copy me. People spend a lot of time, effort, and money on their homes, don't they? They want a nice house to live in. Hey, you're in it long enough. Why shouldn't it be nice? I finally got the kitchen tiled. Finally got that conservatory that we're after. The decking's finished, though Carl does take his time. Then what? Everything's sorted. Don't build your house. Don't build your whole life around your house. Because I tell you, when you finish doing what you thought you needed to do to be happy, you'll find it doesn't make you that happy at all. Or let's redecorate it again then. Or let's move. Because you're not going to find fulfillment. You're not going to find that rock security that Jesus talks about in a house. Good as they are to have. And maybe for you, it's the fact that you've got a bit of cash. Well, I'm all right. I get well paid. I've got quite a few quid in the bank. I'm all right, me. There's quite a few things I can do in my life. I've got plenty of money. I'm all right. Do you know what? That's absolutely fine until the day the world falls out of your life and all that money's gone or somebody rips you off. I know so many people who have been ripped off by other people. So many people. We're all right, us. When we get that money in from the government and those benefits come in, that's absolutely fine. We're absolutely fine. New announcement. We're changing the way benefits are calculated. My whole world's fallen in. It's all right, because my kids, they give to us, you know. Our kids give to us. We're absolutely fine. Mum, I'm leaving, and I'm going over here. All right. All that security is suddenly gone. Jesus said, if you build your life around finances and cash, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. There's nothing wrong with having money, you know. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's a gift from God. But don't put your hope in it. But he calls wise those people that follow Jesus and believe in him. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else you do will be added to you. Do you want a husband or a wife? Seek first the kingdom of God. Do you want a nice home? Seek first the kingdom of God. Would you like a job? Seek first the kingdom of God. Are you worried about your kids? Seek first the kingdom of God. Is your health not so great? Seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, don't pay any attention to it. Just look for me. Look for me, and I'll help sort everything else out for you. Where do you build? Do you build on sand? Or do you build on rock? You know, we have a friend we haven't seen for a while, and he used to drink tea like you and I breathe. And so we called him Teabag, and everyone calls him Teabag Tony. In fact, even his mam calls him Teabag Tony. It's bizarre, isn't it? I name you Teabag Tony, all right? And he came to a number of church meetings. He came to an Alpha, and he came to several Sunday night services that we did. And every week we said, would you like to know Jesus? And he said, give me a cup of tea and I'll think about it. And he said, I really like the sound of it. I really, really like the sound of what you're saying. And I get it. I do get it. But I don't want to give up all the things that I currently do. And in a book called Mark in the Bible, it says this. It says, whoever tries to save his own life will lose it. But whoever gives his life to me will save it. What profits anyone who gains the whole world but loses his soul? He's the truth. I don't care how fit and strong you are. I don't care how well you are. I don't care how well off you are. I don't care how well your life's going. One day, you and me are going to breathe our last. We're going to die. And when we do, the issue is, quite simply, what did you build your life on? Did you build it on rock? I stood firm in Jesus. I said, yes to you, Jesus. I'm going to put all things behind me and follow you. I give you my whole heart. I give you my life. You, Jesus, I choose you. Or did you build it on sand? Well, I was a good dad. Yeah, sand. I worked really hard in my job. Sand. I was a brilliant employee. Sand. I made a million by the time I was 30. Sand. Sand, sand, sand versus rock. And tonight I want to ask you a really simple question. Do you want to build your house on rock? Would you like to say tonight, maybe for the first time, do you know what, Jesus? I believe you. I believe that if I say yes to you, I'm building my life on rock. That makes so much sense to me. And here's the thing. Unlike my friend Teabag Tony, Jesus isn't saying to you, say yes to me now, and here's a list of 75 things that you have to change right now. It's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, come to me and give me your heart. Just say yes. Maybe you've already said yes to Jesus. But over the years, you've found yourself building your life on sand, and all that hope that you had in Jesus has drifted to things that you think are in your control. And tonight, as you sit there, you think, it's me. That's me, that. I've done that. I've let my life move into this sandy, risky area. When really, I need Jesus. Do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus? I wonder, could I ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? Because I just want to ask a really important question. What are you building your life on? And if you're sat there tonight thinking, do you know what? What you've said is me. I build my life on sand. I haven't built it around Jesus. I've built it around me and the things that are important to me. Well, if that is you, and tonight you'd like to say, yes, Jesus. For the first time ever, you want to say, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I want to give you my whole heart. I want to build my life with you and in you. If that's you tonight for the first time, I just want you to do something really brave for me. I'd just like you to put your hand up. Is there anyone in here tonight that would like to say yes to Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? You can put your hands down now. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to say yes to Jesus for the first time ever? Thank you. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to do something even braver than that. Could I ask you to come forward? Because I want to pray for you. So if you put your hand up, just come forward. And everyone else has got their eyes closed, so they're not going to look. And if you want, come forward with somebody else. If you came with someone and you want them to come with you, come forward. Come forward. Come forward. And we're going to pray a prayer with you. All right. Just going to stay with you. Awesome. Awesome. Welcome, brother. Tonight you've made the best decision ever. You're going to build your life on Jesus Christ. And he calls you wise. He calls you wise for that. Do you know, we were all fools building our house on sand, building it on our own dreams. And Jesus says, just come to me. Come to me and I'll build a life for you. Guys, just hold out your hands. Just hold out your hands. I just want you to say a prayer after me, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, tonight, I give you my life. I accept you as my Savior. I call you Lord. And I ask you to come into my life now. I give you my whole heart. Come in, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry for all my sins. I repent of all of my sins. And I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I confess that you're Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I choose tonight to build my house on your rock. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we give him a round of applause, eh? Stay there. Stay there. What we want to do is we just want to give you some literature. So if you just go through that door with Andy there, he'll just give you some books and just some stuff that we want to give you just to help you. Okay? So if you just want to make your way through there, guys, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Well done. Well done. I mean, it's awesome, you know. I mean, I don't know anything about those people, but God does. God does. But now I just want to talk to the rest of you. You know, maybe you have... you can keep playing if you want, because that sounds really cool. When people cry, you know you've got them. But do you build your life on rock or on sand? When was the last time you made a Jesus decision instead of your own decision? When was the last time faced with a problem in your life that you didn't try and sort it out and you gave it to Jesus? I know nothing about you. But maybe tonight is the night when you turn around and say, you know what? I'm sick of building my life on sand. I am tired of watching things sink despite all my effort. Because that's what happens in sand. It just sinks. When a wave comes, first thing that happens, just wipes everything out that's built on sand. Would you like to come back to the rock? Would you like to come back to the rock? If that's you, and tonight you're like, Jesus, why have I walked away from you, my rock? Why don't you just come forward right now? Right now. I've just lived my life on sand. I've made a right mess of it, and I'm sinking. I'm sinking, and I want to come back to you tonight. I want to come back to you, my rock, my fortress, my strong tower, the Bible says. I've been sinking for too long. Do you know what? You haven't sunk. You haven't sunk. You haven't sunk. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men stood before you tonight. And I ask, Father God, that you would bring them back to you. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. We're going to pray for you guys. Tonight you choose rock. You choose rock. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless you, brother. Is there anyone else? I'm sick of sinking. Do you know I've sank so far, I can't see my knees anymore. My hips are going to go soon. And I've just been digging a bigger hole for myself. Well, you haven't sunk yet. You haven't sunk yet. Come and reach out to Jesus before you sink too far. Come and build your house on rock. Well done, brother. Haven't sunk yet, have you? God bless you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're not going to rush this. Is there anyone else that wants to come back to the rock? I want to come back to you, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. It's not too late. It's not too late. You haven't sunk yet. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.